Brian, thank you so much for joining me. And just talk a little bit about the super fight that just went on just a few minutes ago.
Well, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be on a great network. The super fights, it was a four-man tournament today that started. It had Diego the Dream Sanchez, famous UFC fighter, obviously. And he took on a Canadian fighter, Andrew McInnes. And it was a war. I mean, Andrew is an amazing guard fighter, amazing leg lock attacks, and he put it on Diego. I mean, for about 9 minutes of the match, anyone that watched it would say Andrew was going to win. And with 29 seconds left, Diego spins out and does a straight knee bar, and the tap, 29 seconds left. I mean, that doesn't happen in a lot of matches. It was just super exciting.
Wow.
Super exciting.
And so the other match included Ryan Hall, right?
Yes, another amazing world rank, probably second or third in the world at his weight. Ryan Hall took on the head instructor of Toronto BJJ in George Brito. Brito has amazing credentials, and it was really cool to have a USA versus Canada in each of the matches and each of the sides. We're all winners. It doesn't matter, US or Canada. It was just cool. The fans were all behind it.
So. Yeah, absolutely. And now, so tomorrow, the final is going to be Ryan Hall versus Diego Sanchez. Just give us a little bit of a preview of that one.
Wow. Well, it seems like Diego's a little bit susceptible to getting in, caught into the inverted heel hook positions, which is dangerous with Ryan Hall. But Diego's intensity and his ability to pull out of submissions is phenomenal. Obviously, you can see his resilience in his match today, 9 minutes and 31 seconds of kind of getting handed a little bit and pulled it out. So, time doesn't matter to Diego. He wants to submit the guy. So he won't find his moment and take it. He's done it to so many people at Grappler's Quest.
Now just talk a little bit about your promotion, Grappler's Quest, and how long has it been around, and how many expos have you done, and when did you get affiliated with the UFC?
I've been actually in martial arts, and grappling specifically, for 17 years. I started when I was 17 years old, which means I'm 34. Ouch. All right, basically, the event, we've run 157 events so far, and all over the world, Vegas, all the big spots. The UFC, we joined on in 2009 in their first debut expo. I think it was in May or July, one of the two. 2009 was huge. And no one ever really necessarily thought there was going to be another one, but it was so successful. The Grappler's Quest, the grappling tournament, was one of the main draws. I think the UFC it's just really nice to see the UFC really embrace grappling. They realize it's the grassroots of mixed martial arts, and it's just an honor to be associated with them, and they're so supportive. I mean, Joe Silva and Sean Shelby over there watching the super fights, I could see them cringing when Diego get caught in a leg lock. But yeah, it's just awesome to see. I mean, it's exciting sport when matches ended like that. And we're excited too. We also landed a 26 episode TV deal. I can't release network or anything like that yet, but Grappling and Grappler's Quest specifically are going to be on a major network in about 5 to 8 million homes throughout North America very soon.
Well, congratulations with that, and I look forward to hearing more about it.
Thank
just
you.
Give everyone at home maybe a little bit of background, and just, you mentioned the grassroots, and how many of now UFC, I guess, popular fighters have come up through Grappler's Quest?
I mean, the names are phenomenal, starting from Diego Sanchez, Matt Hughes, Brandon Vera, BJ Penn made his debut super fight for Grappler's Quest. I mean, Joe Daddy Stevenson, the list goes on and on and on. Probably over 100 UFC fighters have come through our mats at Grappler's Quest. And that's just, we never gave up. We stuck with it, and we helped build up a lot of these guys to get, like Diego Sanchez got hooked up with Tap Out 12 years ago. And they became a sponsor for him for life, almost. And it's just great to see that these guys started, all the companies, Tap Out, they started in their infancy. They came and supported events like Grappler's Quest and the fight and the grapplers out there. And it ended up being a huge sport because the fighters realized how important it is to test themselves on the ground, on a mat, not in the center of the octagon. And by going against really great grapplers, like you see a guy like Diego Sanchez, who realizes he's going to fight amazing grapplers and he's getting punched. So if he can beat a grappler at his game, that makes him that much more confident in his next fight, which is great to see. I love Diego. He's like he's a personal friend of mine. He did this for charity for autismradio.org, which is a national charity based out of the United States that does amazing things for families. And he donated his purse, and he plans on winning $1,000 tomorrow and donating that too. So Diego's a class act.
That's just fantastic, Brian. Now, maybe elaborate a bit on your relationship with some of these guys. You just mentioned you and Diego are pretty close friends. Just elaborate a bit more on how, you know, you can get to know some of these guys and how they've matured over the years.
The best example, I think, is Joe Daddy Stevenson. He was like 16 years old, and I remember I was at Durango High School in Las Vegas, Nevada, and he was running around after me. He really wanted to get a super fighter, wanted to get a, you know, he was so adamant. I didn't know who he was at the time. And he was walking around. He's like, yeah, I just fought in Gladiator Challenge. I'm like, how old are you? He was like, I'm 16. I'm like, how is that even legal? But anyway, it was a long time ago. But, I mean, you see a guy like that who started with his first amateur fight and ended up at the world stage. I mean, we've had so many stories like that. These guys like Brandon Vera, even Bruce Buffer. I mean, these are personal friends of mine. They're world-class athletes, and they never changed. I could say almost every single guy that I mentioned before, they're just good people. And I think that also makes them better fighters because they realize where their roots were from, and they come back. And that's, to me, that's the greatest honor of being president of Grapplers Quest, is having a guy who probably makes $250,000 in a fight to come back and grapple for free or for charity or for whatever, just for gain some more fans in the grappling community. So it's nice to see. These guys are like Brandon Vera. I mean, hang out, our families hang out. You know, it's like that type of, it's a great thing. They didn't change. That's all I'll say, and I would never change. So.
I think maybe one thing that people may not understand, if they're just onlookers, or especially the ones that don't really watch the sport, they don't care to like the sport or watch it, is they don't get that MMA is really a community. And like you said, people don't change, and these athletes are just, you know, like your everyday guy, you know, and they truly want to be your friend, and they truly are nice, and they're not put on a pedestal just like, you know, other athletes. And I think that's maybe why the sport is how big it is today.
Absolutely. And you look at the UFC, I mean, they're geniuses. If you look at a team like the New York Yankees, they're an empire. They could probably have 4 expos a year at Yankee Stadium, and it'd be sold out every single show. They just didn't get it. They don't get it. The players are not fan-friendly in that way. And you see guys like Anderson Silva, last expo, he was signing, and one of the fan expo staff was like, hey, you know, you got to go to another session. He's like, all these people have been waiting for me for 40 minutes, and you should have stopped them in line. I'm going to sign their autographs, you know, and take pictures with every single person. You can stop the line there. And you see that. They care. I mean, these are famous people. Vanderlei Silva, I've heard, there's actually a great video of him online of, like, telling somebody off. He's like, no, I got to sign for my fans. You know, so it's cool to see that because they're down to earth. And these are professional athletes that even can make as much as a baseball player or more. But they're approachable. They're real people. And they're here to meet their fans. I mean, no other sport really does that, in my opinion. I think the UFC and mixed martial arts has just got it.
Yeah, and one guy who, I guess, is the engineer of all of that is, of course, President Dana White. And he is just as accessible to fans and media as his fighters are. And just talk a bit about, I guess, your relationship with Dana and how that all came about.
Well, Dana, when they acquired the UFC, I believe it was in, I'm not going to say the wrong year, but that year, when they...
We'll say the late 90s. How's that?
Late 90s. Okay. Sounds great. When they pushed forward with the Ultimate Fighter Show, which I think debuted in 2004, we had a huge event. We had almost 3,000 people there. It was in Durango High School in Vegas. And Mark Lehman was doing a super fight against Huron Gracie. And no one knew that the Ultimate Fighter had been filmed. They had produced it, canned it, didn't talk about it, and they were pitching it to Spike. So Lehman was one of the grappling coaches. He did a big super fight because Ken Shamrock was the coach of, I think it was season one.
Yes.
Dana actually brought Ken Shamrock to our event. I mean, that was like ridiculous. I was never so excited about having such a great, iconic fighter at Grappler's Quest. And Dana made it happen because he believed in what we are doing, and he also realizes the power of the grassroots of the grappling community. Like you said, a community is very, I think, the competitors specifically, the competitors are, it's like a really, it's different than just attending something. Like if you're a fan of something and you watch something, you can be a fanatic even. But competitors for mixed martial arts and grappling, they're the most fanatic people on the planet. And their loyalty goes so deep and their support goes so deep it just echoes and ripples through the world. We went from, I started out events in 1998, and we had 200 competitors, and we have 1,100 in shows. It's just a monster. And then just to see the sport push up with it, guys like Dana White and the UFC and Zuffa, who supported us, believed in us, and just love mixed martial arts in general. I mean, I'm a lucky and privileged individual to have the respect from the entire Zuffa organization, specifically Dana White, to have the privilege to run Grappler's Quest inside the UFC Fan Expo. Here we are, 60,000 fans over 2 days. I mean, that get to see grappling potentially for the first time in a competition setting. And it's the only live, we have awesome interviews and everything over to the left, but for competition purposes, it's the only live fights or grappling matches that are going on in the event. So tons of people are cycling through our area. The bleachers have been filled all day. It's really great to see. It's great to see that, if you recall, call it 8-10 years ago, you had UFC fans that were booing when guys went to the ground.
Yep.
And what a change. You saw the Japanese crowds back in the day. They got it. They're respectful. They respect grappling. They go to the ground, they stand up, and they cheer. Or they got to have a submission, they cheer. And to see the UFC fan base starting to, years back, just really started to change over and started becoming grappling fans and not just looking for two guys to knock each other out. They respected the arts of mixed martial arts. They really, I think everybody started cross-training, and it just built up. Everybody wants to be great at something, but the mixed martial arts professional fighters have to be great at everything.
Absolutely. Now, Brian, can you give us maybe a heads up of what's to come for Grappler's Quest?
Absolutely. Our next event is Saturday, June 18th. It's the U.S. Nationals of Grappling. It's in Morristown, New Jersey, my home state.
Wow.
And that's a huge show. We run like 15 rings. There's thousands of people in attendance. It's always sold out. A great show. It's at a big arena called the Menin Arena in Morristown. And people can get more information after that. I think we have July 9th in Vegas and July 30th in Houston. I'm a busy guy.
Yeah.
August
20th. I was just going to say.
August 20th in Coral Springs, Florida. It goes on from there. All the upcoming events are on our website at grapplersquest.com. And, we have a great tour. We have 11 more events this year alone, and we're just roving around the country. Even some events that are smaller, it still helps. It gives them hope that people care, that, you're in New Mexico and you've been traveling to Vegas for 8 years or 9 years to get an event in your hometown is a special thing in Albuquerque or, Dallas or Houston, where people usually were traveling up to our main shows in Vegas or Jersey. So when we go to them, the support just... it's insane. And they come in droves. They're great to us. They're respectful. And it's just nice to see it. Every single new town, it's like, my story about Toronto is the reason why I started Grappler's Quest. I went to Gene LaBelle's Grappler's Challenge in 1998. And I went up there and I saw probably 100 competitors from New York and New Jersey that drove 9 hours like myself to go fight. It was the first no-gi tournament in the world.
Wow.
And it was for us. It was amateur, We didn't get treated great. We were kind of pushed off the side on two mats, and they had BJJ on eight. But we made it happen, and I came back, and I said, there's nothing like this in America. The competition, for me, competition wasn't just about winning or losing. I had a very personal experience with competition. I did my first pancreation match for shoe fighting, and it was such a triumph and a transitional moment in my life because I faced my single greatest fear. And from that point on, when I was a kid, I couldn't speak publicly. I wouldn't work a crowd, look around. I'd be looking down at my notes in school and college. And to see that confidence lift from realizing, I would always say to myself, if I got up in that ring and I fought a stranger in front of 600-700 people, I could do anything.
Absolutely.
So I think it's the greatest thing in the world. And that's why I like the grappling, because you don't have to get hit. You can go to work on Monday and look pretty. And it's a fun, it's a nice thing. I always tell people, especially in very high level sales or personal touch business relationships, that grappling is one of the great conversational sports, because you can be like, yeah, I competed at the UFC Fan Expo this weekend. People are like, what? You fought, you fought in Toronto, the UFC? Did you fight with St. Pierre? No. I competed inside the Fan Expo. People don't think of it differently. It's still an amazing association. Anybody that comes out to compete has a special experience, because this is something they can capture It's cataloging their life. They could show it to their kids and their grandkids. And it's just awesome. I mean, I have matches from when I was 16, 17, and it's just really cool to see that now. First of all, how bad I was, but also, you know, you can learn from it.
Absolutely.
But it's great to have it for the history. I showed it to my son, and he was like, Dada.
Yeah.
He's three, you know. He's like, Dada, are you okay? And I was like, no, it's not. It's old. It happened already. But him watching it made me feel proud, too, to him know that his father was a fighter. It's nice. Yeah.
Well, so it's not only showing the evolution of yourself as an athlete, but the evolution of the sport as well. And Brian, you are sounding like the busiest guy in all of grappling. So I thank you so much for taking the time and sitting down with us here at the Fan 590 booth at the UFC Fan Expo. And good luck and enjoy the rest of the weekend.
Thank you so much for having me.